Well, I said last Sunday, and I'm going to do it this Sunday. Last Sunday, I spoke and said God had given me a message before and told me that I was supposed to preach this Sunday. And so far, he has not changed nothing about that. And I'm going to be talking about being redeemed from the curse of the law. We're going to specifically speak. The Lord gave me this message, and this is a message right now for us at this time. And it's number one. God, one of the greatest emphasis is God is moving in the church right now, is in the body of Christ, is in the areas of healing. He wants to move in that area, but you need to understand something, especially if you've gone here to this church. You've been taught over time concerning about healing. You've been taught how to act on it and how to walk in it. And I want you to understand this: the move of God that's coming. We need to get to, there needs to be an awakening in the body of Christ, or many Christians are going to be disappointed in the move of God. There's many Christians that are sitting around and waiting, that thinking, well, if this big move of God comes, then I'll get the things that I want. And I just want to tell you, it's not going to happen that way. Understand, when we deal in the areas of gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, you will know, if you'll find this out, if you haven't been around here very long in this church, and if you've been here, if you've ever noticed and paid attention what goes on, very seldom is there a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that operate through me like gifts of healing for any individual in the church. 99% of the time when I minister to people in the church, I minister by faith. We minister by faith. That's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, I didn't put gifts of healings and the name of Jesus in the church for the church. He said the church is supposed to be able to walk by faith and walk in health. That's what they're supposed to do. He said that's what's required of the church. Now, some of the church world can't do that because they're not taught it. And so many times when God operates through me, like when people come in, many times I can get a person healed who's here, comes here, doesn't come all the time, hasn't been taught. Usually I can get them healed at least one time, but it's on my faith, it's not on their faith. If they haven't really been taught and don't understand it, God uses it to them for a sign. And see, that's what's, you know, I don't need a sign from God. I don't need one. I've already had signs in the past that he showed me. Now he expects me to walk in faith. And now I have studied revival history quite often. In fact, we even had it in Bible school. You study history on revivals, on different things. And you're going to find this out. In revivals of the past, most of the time, the Christians who have sat in churches and been taught about divine healing and that stuff, when the revivals come, most of them never get healed by gifts of the Spirit in these revivals. And they'll sit and watch all these sinners get healed. And they sit there, well, what's wrong? Why can't I get healed? You have to operate in faith. God expects us. Walking in faith is the highest level you can walk in. It's not gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills. I can use my faith and be healed anytime, any place, anywhere. You can only be healed through gifts of the Spirit whenever they manifest. That's it. So if they don't manifest and you haven't developed your faith, you're stuck sick. You're stuck in whatever situation you're in. I don't want that. God provided us His best in the operations of faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, we're going to focus probably mostly on the area of healing, but this is for anything that God has that you want to walk in. And so you need to get a hold of this. God wants us to not be like the world is sit around and wait for something to happen before we can have something. We're supposed to be walking in the image and likeness of Christ, that when they see, they look at us and they say, man, you know, they got something better than we have. There's one thing is that people could look at me and my family's life and they could tell this. We weren't sick all the time like everybody else was. We weren't. I had people come and say to us about that. How come you guys don't go with them? And I ain't had the flu in so long, dear God. You know, since I got born again, January 1980, I haven't missed one day of work or anything else because of sickness since 1980. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I'm not bragging on me. It's the Word of God. All I did was just believe what the Word of God said. The Word of God said it, and everybody else told me, now, he don't do that anymore. Well, he's been doing it for me. What, does he like me better than everybody else? I doubt that. Dear God, sometimes I don't even like me much. You know? He doesn't do it because of that. He does it because you follow and work, learn to walk by faith in the Word of God and believe what the Word of God says. And one of the things that is important to be taught right. I was fortunate. I had a wonderful teacher that I sat under that didn't teach me a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. He taught me what the Bible says and didn't tell me what religion had to say about it or what man had to say about it. Now, in opening, I want to read this to you. In fact, it's in your in the bulletin. There's a scripture I have, some scriptures I put in there. I want to read to you the ones in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I want to read this to you because here is a foundation of something the Apostle Paul wrote and said that you need to get in you, because most of us, I came out of a religious background. I was born and raised. I was a kid in church. We went to church more than the Pope goes to church. I'm going to tell you that. We were in church all the time. We lived in the church. When they had revivals in the wintertime, all the churches and the groups around the area, so you went to everybody's revival, they had at least 2 week revival. I'd spend all winter as a kid every night in church. You do this stuff. I heard all kind of messages, heard all kind of things, and nobody ever got better. Nobody ever got things ever worked out. They all talked about God, and the basic line was that when he's ready to get you and kill you, he will. And when he's, you know, when he wants you to live, you'll live. And, you know, you just follow him and watch out. Lightning may hit you one day. So we didn't know. We were just, hey, these weren't bad people. They wanted to do good. They wanted to walk right, but they were sure taught poorly. They weren't taught by the Word of God. They didn't know most of the Bible. They didn't know what was in it. They only had, you know, you had these select verses that you believe. And a lot of them were the verses where God's going to get you, you know. But I want you to see this. Paul talks about the gospel he preaches in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm verse 17 says, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly, or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me, there should be yes, yes, and no, no. Now, but listen to this. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him is yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. You need to understand this. This is what is generally not taught in the church. There was no such thing. Paul never preached a gospel that said, sometimes God heals, sometimes he don't. His was a yes. It's always yes. All the promises are always yes. Well, sometimes God heals. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. I want you to know, if you read the gospel that Paul preached, that is never in there. Religion preaches that. That's men's ideas. If you believe that sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, no, sometimes he says wait, sometimes this. If you believe that, you're always going to be very limited in your faith. Your faith in God's not. Because you cannot believe God for anything that you don't know already he has said yes about. You have no stance. You couldn't have faith. If I never said I was going to give you a nickel, you couldn't have 1 ounce of faith that I'd give you a nickel. You could just hope one day I might do it for you. But you could never have an ounce of faith. You have to first know whether if I said I was going to give it to you, then you could have faith. If I had enough integrity, that you would know that I'd give it to you. You couldn't believe in it any other way. But in a church, we're taught faith is a shot in the dark. That's what we're taught. Faith is something that you put this board up, and usually the board's so far away you can hardly reach it to throw the dart at it. And you know it has on there in the center is a yes, but the rest of the board's no. And I'm not saying this to knock anybody. If we don't hear the truth, we never get out of this mess. We don't ever get out of this mess. Every promise that God made, and I want you to know this, every promise that's in the book, even the promises in the Old Testament, because I'm going to show you today, every promise God made is always yes and it always will be. Hallelujah. God made promise and he changes not. Our covenant is based on promise. It's not based on law. It's based on promise. That's the foundation of our covenant, is promise. If God's promises aren't good, then he's no good. If your promises aren't any good, you ain't any good. If your word's no good, you're no good. You never find a good person whose word's no good. It never happened. If a person's word's no good, he's exactly what his word is. There's number one, we find out. Paul said, I didn't preach a yes and no gospel. The only gospel that you heard, and he said, Timothy preached the same one, and so does Silvanus. It's always yes. Hallelujah. We got a yes gospel. When I found that out, that was such good news to me. I was so excited. Hallelujah. To find out we got a yes God. And so I quit listening to those no people. Hallelujah. Those people, no. Because those people never went anywhere. And to say there's some of them that didn't want you to go anywhere because they couldn't get anywhere. They didn't want anybody to get ahead of them. I'll tell you what, anybody can get more and go further than me, I'll cheer them on. Dear Lord. You never try to hold somebody else back, because if you do, you're going to hold you back. You can't go anywhere trying to hold. I'll tell you, I see somebody get blessed. I don't care if they deserve it or not, or whether it looks like. I'd always cheer people on. If somebody can have something better, they can go further. Let them have it. I don't begrudge the world getting stuff. I don't begrudge nobody, because I want some stuff. If you're poor, you can't give, and you're out of the will of God. God never planned it. We're going to find out with God's plan. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're supposed to labor with our hands, so we have to give. That's what we're supposed to. The purpose of working is not to meet your need. It's so you get more than your need and you have enough to give somebody else and help them. That's the purpose of working. If your purpose of working is just get what you want, you're always going to be limited. God can't take you further. You're going to have to do what the world does to get ahead. That's what you're going to have to do. Hallelujah. Since I became a Christian, I've always had enough to give. I've always had, giving was always there. I could always do it. Now, I sure wasn't on the other side, man. I'll tell you what, I was so busy trying to take care of me and ruining my life, I didn't have time to ruin somebody else's. I was doing enough with mine. But we need to get in line with this. Now, I want you to go this morning because we're going to look at what the Scripture says. Because God wants to take you to freedom. He wants you to have free. He don't want you to have. We look today and people talk about freedom and things. You know, people today are trying to have the freedom that God already gave them. But our idea, too, is freedom. Is freedom something that we come along and we get, then we can do what we want. That's not what the freedom is. Your freedom in life is to be free from sin. And you walk in the freedom that God gives you. And I want to tell you, if you learn to walk it, walk in the truth of the word of it, you won't have all the problems other people have. Sickness won't drag around after you. Poverty won't drag around after you. Those things won't be around and on you. Those are the things that the devil will try to bring to you, but you can sure put it to a stop. And so we want to walk in the freedom that God has for us. There's a freedom that God has given the church over sickness, disease, over mental ailments, over depression, over poverty. Any kind of lack or want that you could think of, God has already dealt with in Christ Jesus, and the Bible is clear in the subject of how Christ dealt with it. And so we need to come to the place that we walk in it and walk in what God has done. You know, most of Christianity, they believe that these things here, they can just happen to us. And one day when we get to heaven, then we won't have to put up with this stuff. Well, sure, I mean, anybody that's a Christian gets to heaven, you know, there's no sickness there. But, you know, and as I've said this before, you know, we the church world, and they pray the Lord's Prayer. They say the Lord's Prayer. Oh, yes, and they act real spiritual about it. And they pray the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer says that when we pray, thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. And then they say, God makes you sick for a reason. Is there any sickness in heaven? Well, then why do we lie praying that? Now, let's get straight. Why do we lie praying that and then say, if we're praying for God's will to be done on earth like it is in heaven, am I supposed to live in mental torment? Am I supposed to live under sickness and disease? Well, why would we pay for in this earth that God's will to be done, and then turn around and go talk the exact opposite about the God and say we love him? If you can love a guy that keeps making you sick, you belong in a mental hospital. They have Phil Haven out here. They'll give you some drugs out here, try to keep you in a cage someplace so you don't hurt yourself or nobody else. They can't quite make it big enough because there's a lot of preachers that had to go in there because he preaches nonsense. They say this, Jesus Christ, was he God? He told us to pray that God's will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. He told us to do that. then people talk the other. They pray it and then say, well, God, he might send a storm and kill you. Well, you know, storms in heaven. You know, back some years ago, the Lord told me about that. He said, here in these last days, he's going to have a lot of bad storms. He said, a lot of stuff's coming. He said, don't let the devil tear up your property. He told me what to do. I did it. And I'll tell you what, the devil don't tear up my property. I've watched him tear up the neighbor's property. I've watched him. He don't touch my property. Why? Because I'm not under the curse of the law. And neither are you. We want to look at this today because many Christians live under the curse, yet Jesus Christ has set them free from it, yet they live under the curse. See, if you're preached, God's going to curse you. Well, I don't know. Jesus wasted his time on the cross. Jesus was a big waste of time, according to most of the church world. What he did on that cross, you know, most of the church world preaches this, just the forgiveness of sin. That's all we got, the cross, forgiveness of sin. If that's all we got, the cross, the Jews had forgiveness of sin before Jesus ever went to the cross. If that's the only thing we got, we could have kept doing the bull and goat thing. We could have just kept doing it. If that's all we got out of it, Jesus wasted his time. My Jesus didn't waste his time. This make-believe Jesus that people preach would have wasted time. But the real Jesus Christ didn't waste his time. Jesus died for you and I so we could have heaven's blessing while we live in the earth. That's why he died for. He didn't die just say, well, okay, I'll forgive you of your sin. I'll tell you, he made you a new creature. If you believe on him, you became a new creation. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have authority over principalities, powers, mights, dominion, and everything that's named. Hallelujah. We're the body of Christ. The head don't have one thing and the body has something else. My head and body are attached. You know, my head ain't Harry and my body Leroy. There's one body of Christ. And in fact, Paul called the church at Corinth, he said, you're Christ. The church is Christ. We're seated under the authority of Christ. That what authority the head has, the body has. My head, no matter how wonderfully it thinks, if my body don't cooperate with it, my head can do nothing. I can think about building a house, but my body says I'm going to lay on the couch. The head would just have to just think about houses. It's all the further it ever go. Hallelujah. We got better than that, folks. Galatians, go over to Galatians, the third chapter. I'll tell you, this is an absolutely wonderful, dynamic scripture. And it's written to you by God himself gave this to you to inform you of what you have. What God has done for you in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ has, that word has, get a hold of it, has, this is, we're going to talk about something that was done past tense, it was done before, we ain't going to have to try to have it done now. It's already been fulfilled. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me say this entering into this. We are talking here, Christ redeemed us. The word redeem means to buy back, to purchase. Actually, a dictionary, I really thought it was quite interesting because they said to be free from sins. Sin's consequences is one of the things. To be free from sin's consequences. See, the consequences of sin, This was in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. To be free from the consequences of sin. Do you know what sin, what the consequences of sin were? Adam came along and sinned. And you know what? There was no sickness in the earth. There wasn't even weeds growing. There wasn't any of that stuff. Sin brought that to the earth. The wages of sin is death. It always is. The wages of sin is death. It brings death. Sickness, what does it do? Try to bring death. That's its whole purpose, is to bring death. The wages of sin is death. It ain't the wages of God is death. It's the wages of sin. The New Testament tells us specifically that we reap what we sow. It didn't say we reap what God gives us. We reap what we sow. We determine what God can give us by our lives, what we do. We determine that. God don't. I want to tell you, I found this out when I came in the kingdom. God had been wanting to bless me all the years I lived like hell. That was his plan to bless me. I wasn't cooperating with it. I was sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption. That was none of God's plans. God's plans, that I should have been born again, living in his blessing and walking. I wasn't doing that. I can't sit around and blame God or anybody else. I can't even blame the devil. I made decisions, folks. Well, I'm going to tell you, you got to learn in life. Quit blaming everybody else or somebody else or something. When you do dumb, just call it right out. I do dumb sometimes, and I just can say, well, I was dumb on that one. I never go to God and complain about it. I just say, Lord, I was stupid on that. Forgive me for being Mr. Stupid. Let's get this thing fixed right now. I'm going to follow you and walk with you. That's what we're going to do. And that's, you know, we got to do that in life. Now, he said here, what the whole purpose is was the promise of the Spirit. This was the great thing. This isn't talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit in the new birth. We were redeemed. Christ redeemed us on the cross so we could be born again. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit that baptizes you into Christ and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. That was the promise. The promise was to redeem us from the curse of the law. And I want you to understand about it, because we'll look over some of the curse in Deuteronomy 28. The Bible tells us clearly what the curse is, what we're delivered from. It tells us completely. But I want you to get this fact. See, we were redeemed. Christ paid for us. We were under a curse. All humanity was under a curse. And I mean, it's just, the curse is terrible. Let me read you in Matthew 5:17 says, do not think, this is Jesus, do not think that I came to destroy the laws and law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Now I want you to think about this. He came to fulfill the law. Now we're going to go over and look at what it says in Deuteronomy, because we're talking about the fulfillment of the law. If we're going to find Deuteronomy 28 specifically tells us the blessing and the curse. It tells us the two. Tells us what they are. Now, we find out the blessing of Abraham. Well, look at the blessing of Abraham. Man, Abraham's blessing. I mean, Abraham was blessed in every way you could think of. Now, everybody was astounded at Abraham. Said the blessing of Abraham. It was going to come on us, but actually the blessing of Abraham came on us even greater than Abraham. It actually came on blood because we got the promise of the Spirit. He's never born again. He never got born again. He never became a new creature in Christ Jesus. That never happened to him. We get that. And we get the Holy Spirit comes and dwells and lives in us. The Holy Spirit inside us. The Bible who tells us he's our teacher. He's the one that guides us and leads us into the truth. We become temples of the living God. Hallelujah. It's absolutely a phenomenal thing. This is what happened. But we were redeemed. So we find out there is a curse and there is a blessing. Now, as we look at this, we're going to find Israel actually ended up in a couple occasions where they saw almost the full curse come on them for not following God. They saw everything of the ugly. We're not going to read through it because there's so many verses that deal with the curse. That it's just, and you know what, I'll tell you could get sad reading through it, because I want to tell you what, I can see it happening in America today. America's a nation. People need to understand this. You can't get away and walk further away from God without the curse start manifesting more and more. The further you get away, and I don't care if you're born again, if you start getting away from God, you allow the devil to have access to your life. It ain't God, it's the devil. Now, God don't want that. God doesn't want that. He wants you to walk in the blessing that he prepared for you. And so we're going to look at that. But Christ fulfilled it. If the law was fulfilled, there's only one thing left. Blessing. There is no curse. The fulfilled law means you did everything the law required, so therefore there's only one thing you can have. Blessing. You can't have curse. You can't have curse and the law not be fulfilled. And this is what I want you to understand is going into this, is the fact of it is, you got to understand that you're in Christ Jesus when you got born again. The fulfillment of the law that he did, if we're in him, then we have the fulfillment of the law. It wasn't done by us, it was done by him. Our faith in him has put us in Christ Jesus. The scriptures tell us we're in Christ and Christ is in God. I mean, you don't get any better than that. Are you secure or what? You know, as people worry about what the devil's going to do. What on earth is the devil going to do? He's going to go beat up God? Dear Lord. Yeah, I'm going to get you. Say, yeah. It's like you're standing there with a handgun and he's on the other side there. Say, I'm going to get you. Yeah, try that one. You know, hallelujah. But you got God's your handgun. No, you need to understand this. So the devil, there's this, we need to understand there's a fulfillment. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But I want you to understand this. Most of the church teaches that we've been redeemed from the blessing too. That's right. You would never preach that God would make you sick. You would, if, because it's a, in other words, God redeemed us to sickness. Is that what he did? Did he redeem us to poverty? Did he redeem us to mental torment, insanity, and whatever else, perversion or anything of the human nature? He redeemed us to the curse because the curse housed all those things. That's what's in the curse. We'll find that out. That's what's in the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. In other words, you and I, you couldn't be redeemed from something you weren't in. You know, I couldn't be from Lebanon if I never lived here, could I? I live in the area, so this is, if I go someplace else, that's where I'm from. So in other words, you and I started as sinners, as lost Christ, we started out in the curse. That's where we lived, in the curse. The great sad thing is much of the church lives in the land of the cursed. And they don't realize, because they don't know what God did for them. They don't realize the goodness of God toward them. They're told he didn't. They're told that just because you live here, you're going to have to put up with this. You know, Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you. And I've heard preachers say this, well, see, some people God wants poor. God's will is almost never done in the earth. Do you know what the book of Revelation is about? The book of Revelation is what happens to people that don't walk in the will of God. God's will is for everybody to go to heaven. God's will is for everybody to be saved. What goes on in the book of Revelation is not the will of God. It's what happens when man don't follow it, and it's the curse and its fullness. And all kind of preach. I did some preaching. They preach about prophecy. Like all this is the will of God. God never just wanted to destroy any man. He doesn't want any of that junk. He never had it. That stuff comes along because of man. And then preachers preach. It's the will of God. No, it's not. The will of God is you to live a blessed life here and then go home to be with Jesus one day and just live better yet. You know, that's his plan for all humanity. The worst sinner, he planned that for Adolf Hitler. Jesus died just as much for Hitler's sin. Hitler didn't go to hell because he did bad things. He went to hell because he never received Christ. God forgave his sins. He never accepted it. The perfect will of God was not carried out in his life. That Hitler and all that stuff went on. That was never God's plan. That was man's plan. Men doing their thing. Men not following God, doing all this kind of crazy stuff out here, doing all kinds of things, not fulfilling the will of God. Hallelujah. We want to follow the will of God. God has a plan. Christ redeemed you from the curse. The Bible says it. I don't need, you know, no, you know, yeah, the curse. Oh, he's just talking about spiritual things. Well, if he is, we have to go look at the word. You ask him, then what is the curse? They never explain it to you because they don't know. They don't know. Yet the Bible tells us. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. I want to go there to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 28, because I want to show you something. You know, the things in the law, the Lord spoke to me over the years, some things about in this area where he personally spoke to me about some things that were very beneficial to me and helpful to me. But Deuteronomy 28, and it starts off with this. Now, we understand this. This is speaking, telling you how the blessing and the curse worked under the law. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and of all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now I want you to understand this. The blessing, and he's going to talk about the blessing. He uses the same terminology when he starts off with a curse about thou if you don't do everything right. In other words, the law was set up like this. If you do everything right, you can get blessed. If you don't do everything right, you get cursed. Well, if I have to do everything right, I might as well accept the curse. How many of you here, you never miss it? You're just on the ball all the time. If any of you think you're like that, we'll have an altar call for liars, get you saved, and you know, get you back in fellowship with God again. You know, we blow it. Understand this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, what we're going to look at. The law based it on the fact you were blessed based on performance. The law is blessing based on performance. I remember reading over in this time, and I would hear people talk about, well, what is the curse of the law? Well, we go through the curse of the law, you're going to find out. It's sickness and disease, it's poverty. Any bad thing that comes along is listed under the curse. It's under the curse of the law. And so the Lord said to me one day, He said, what is the curse of the law? And so I went over and I just was trying to explain this to him. And he said, the curse of the law is, he said, the basis of it is you can't keep it. That is the curse of the law. The church basically preaches the law today. They preach the law that you have to do everything right to get blessed. I'll tell you, I wouldn't even be in the ministry today if I had to do everything right. It's God's grace that carried me in the ministry. I didn't do it by my will, par my great, and me doing everything right. I wanted to do things right, but I still sometimes did things wrong. But God developed me in spite of me because of my faith in Christ Jesus. If you want to go somewhere, you're going to have to learn to walk by faith. You're going to have to trust God to take you to where you want to go, because I'm going to tell you, you ain't smart enough. You ain't genius enough. Without His revelation, His understanding, and His power working in you, you'll never fulfill His will. You'll just be religious. You'll just be doing the yeses and nos. And it's always more nos than there are yeses. The nos are piled up to here, and the yeses are always way down to there. That's the law. That's the law. And this is the wonder of faith. See, I love walking by faith. Because it doesn't take a rocket science. Scientist to do this. All I have to do is trust in God. Faith is me trusting God. Faith isn't based on my performance. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I have been blessed far beyond performance. Hallelujah. And I've had performance that's been far beyond my mentality and my understanding because of the grace of God working through me. And that happens because of faith. It's my trust in God. You want to improve performance? Get over your trust God and let Him work through you instead of you keep trying to work through you. Let Him work in you. So it was founded on this. And if I did everything right, it starts off and goes, bless you'll be in the city, bless you shall be in the country. Blessed you'll be in the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and in the increase of your herds, and in the increase of your cattle. See, these folks in those days, they were mostly did farming and that kind of stuff. This is what the culture was. In other words, he's telling them in their culture, they were going to be blessed in these ways. He said, you know, in the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks, blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, you're going to have plenty of food to eat. You're going to be doing good. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will curse your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your eyes. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses. In other words, your savings and whatever else you got, you're going to have a storehouse. Most people in America live from week to week, month to month off their money. That isn't the plan of God. Land of God, you have a storehouse. You got money beyond where you're at. That's what he says. They're going to bless in your storehouse. Hallelujah. And all to which you set your hand to do. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Today, the church is afraid of the world, and we're trying to do everything we can to appease them. And, oh, please come into our church. Oh, please, we're really nice people. And we won't talk about things that are true and right. We'll let you bring your sin to the church and tell you you're okay. I'm going to tell you what, this last day revival is going to be like other revivals. People will begin to fear the church because when God shows up, people start getting scared because when they see a power that's greater than human power, they start getting scared. And you know what? There's many people, if they don't get scared, they need the hell scared. I'm not talking dirty. They need hell scared out of them so they'll come to Christ. This flaky church world we got today, my words, they couldn't get a hair-lipped kid in. Dear Lord, they can hardly do a thing. Messing around, trying to do stuff, playing around with things, trying to call it church, and I don't know what it is. All the people of the earth shall see that you're called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, and in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain to you, your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and above only, and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are faithful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Now we can see concerning in our land, you know, like in America today, America borrows money like crazy. The reason we do is ungodliness. Now, some preachers have preached in the past say it's wrong to borrow money. It can't be. If it'd be wrong to borrow money, it'd be wrong to lend money. Because you'd be causing people to sin. He's talking about coming to the place where you don't have to borrow and you have enough money. I'll tell you, you want to arrive at that place. God wants you to arrive at that place that you don't have to borrow anymore. You may not start there. Wanda and I surely didn't start there. We started off, and I want to tell you what, we first came into Christianity. Man, I'll never forget when I went to Wanda and said I wanted to tithe, start giving 10% of our money to God. And she said, how on earth are we going to do that? You know, we were up against it with all of it, you know. And but we started, we went, turned around, did it. God turned around, blessed us. And, you know, this, folks, this is the work of God. It's not the work of men. It's the work of God. You know, it's been quite a long time since Wanda and I have had to borrow money. That's nice to ride the place, but you come to there. I'm not bragging, saying we sure didn't start off there, and bless God. But here we find out that's part of the blessing, is not having to borrow. See, we're told that, you're just going to have to do it this way, or you just have to do it that way. We don't even expect the blessing of God. The church world don't even expect the blessing of God today. We look at these things. These are the blessings. This is the fulfillment of the law. When the law is fulfilled, this is the blessing. It tells you you'll be blessed in the fruit of your body. In other words, your children. See, that's part of what I taught before about what the Lord told me about. If I'd do what He wanted, told me to do and I'd walk in it, that He would bring my whole family in. And He's done it. You know, He said, I didn't have to worry about concerning my wife. At that time when I was got saved, my wife wasn't saved. I want to tell you what. Why? Because the blessing's on me. The blessing's on me, not the curse. I'm blessed in the fruit of my body. I'm not cursed. My kids ain't going out and living like hell. The reason a lot of Christians' kids, and they get away and don't follow God, is because of what the parents believe. They believe, well, you know, they're just going to go sow their wild oats. Anybody ought to be shot that says that if he's a Christian. And because what they do is they send their kids to hell and damnation with their stupid talk. They don't love their children. If they read the Bible, they'd fall in love with God and speak life over them instead of death. That's good preaching. If people like it or not, I don't really give a rip. You can sit and pray for your kids all you want, but you talk death over them. I'm going to tell you what. Forget the praying. Just go ahead down the bar and have a drink. You might as well. Ain't no more sin in that than talking a bunch of junk out of your mouth. Talking a bunch of evil. Hallelujah. My kids were following God. And I told them when they were little they were. I told them they weren't going to grow up. They weren't going to grow up and be hellions. You're not going to do that. Hallelujah. Because I'm your daddy. The devil ain't your daddy. I have more say over him than the devil did. You're going to just go sow your wild oats. Not while I'm around. Glory to God. I ain't let the devil take my family off to hell. Hallelujah. My God, if I sound a little angry about it, I am, because I tell you, I've watched it over the years. I've watched Christians sit in churches and talk death to all the time and speak the death to their children. And my God, I tell you, we need to come back into line and begin to speak the word of God. You know, this is the blessing. Christ redeemed us and he fulfilled the law so the blessing could come on us. Under the law, they had to do everything perfect to get it. Christ said, I fulfilled the law. When we accepted Jesus, just think about this. If a person would come today who had never accepted Jesus Christ and would come today and accept Jesus Christ, immediately they are redeemed from the curse of the law. Immediately. Immediately. They don't have to try. They don't have to do nothing. It's in the package. It's already in the package of salvation. It's already given. I don't have to perform one work. They don't have to perform one work to get redeemed from the curse of the law. What they need to do is learn that they're redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what they have to do, learn. But it's already there. You know, when I was born into my family, I was the heir of everything that my parents had and everything that they had. Well, I didn't even know what my parents had when I was born. You know, you don't even know. Till you find out in life what's going on. This is one of the things you need to know. What we do, and this is why you have to stick with the Word, staying in church, listening to teaching constantly, to find out what you got. Unless they're teaching you, you're just going to die anyhow. Well, why even bother going to church? I don't understand why somebody would darken the door of a church and just tell you, you know, all the time that God's just going to make you sick. Why? Might as well stay home. I can get sick at home as much as go to church and get sick too. Dear God. You know, I don't need to be depressed in the church. I stay home. My word, they're happier down here in the bars than a lot of churches are. They're at least trying to have a good time. Sometimes I wonder about the church. I don't know if they're trying to have a good time or what. You know? You know, God took the favorite family member. He killed him. He took him for a reason. You know, he killed him for a reason, you know. And they say, boy, we sure do love him, though. I'll tell you, we love him. You know, we have people locked up in prison for killing their kids. Well, then God needs locked up. If he's doing that stuff, why would we want to serve somebody that does all that evil? We lock people up. Is he any better? Well, we should be rewarding the person that does it. They're following the will of God. They killed the person. They'll say, God took them for a reason. Then why did we lock the killers up? What are we locking them up for? They're doing the will of God. When I was a little kid in church, I had already figured that out while all the adults sat around and gobbled that stuff up like crazy. And I'd think, well, that don't make any sense. That don't make no sense. We're locking people up. They said God had them do it. I thought, I don't want to do the will of God. Dear Lord, you do the will of God. Dear God, who wants to do the will of God? God gets people to do bad stuff. He has to get people to do bad things to do his will. Folks, you got to get this stuff out of you. Most of the church world preaches this stuff. Most of the church world believes this. You can't walk on in this freedom of health, victory over poverty. You can't do that and believe any of that stuff. You can't have that. You know, it's just like a water glass. I say all the time, I can get pure water in a glass that is contaminant free. All I do is take a glass that has contaminated water and you just put a little in it. It contaminates the whole thing. Religion contaminates the whole thing. You can't accept a little bit of it without it somehow contaminating you. When somebody comes along and tries to put God in the bad light, that God is trying to get somebody, God's doing everything he can to save people. He's doing everything he can. He wants you blessed more than you want blessed. The Lord spoke that to me one day and he said, continue areas of healing. He said, I want my people healed more than they want healed. He said, if I could just get them to listen to me. That's why you ought to pray for preachers. You need to pray for preachers. A bunch of them need prayer because they're preaching their own messages. You preach God's, but God wants you well. Get that into you. Don't let anybody tell you any different. God wants you well. Sometimes there's things we have to do to line up with that so we can receive it. But God wants you well. He's on your side. He wants to take you to the place that you want to go. Why would he redeem us from the curse of the law if he wanted you to have bad? What's the point? If we go over in Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 says, now listen to this, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, your God. And it goes on through and talks about if you don't listen, these curses are going to come and overtake you. Now look, this is what we're redeemed from. Now it starts off, says, Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall be when you go out. The Lord will send on you. Now, I want to put this. It says the Lord will send on you. I want you to let's there, because people look at this and they say, well, this says the Lord will send it on you. The word send there in the Hebrew, that's a verb, that word, the verb there. They translated that verb as causative, as God causing it. But that's not, that verb should be translated in the permissive. God will allow this to come on you. I want you to understand this. We know from New Testament teaching, God don't have to bring something bad on me. I'm going to reap the fruit of what I sow. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. See, you go out here, let's talk about just naturally. See, we see the pictures. Jesus all the time used the natural things to give the picture about spiritual things, of how they work. Now, naturally, I can have a Christian farmer here and a sinner farmer here. They both have land. They both take care of their land in the same manner. If the Christian guy plants some corn and the sinner plants corn, what happens to that corn, that seed that's planted in the ground? It grows up. They both get what they plant. He don't plant corn over here, the Christian, so the guy over here, sinner, he ends up with barley putting corn seeds in the ground. It don't happen. It doesn't take place. See, we can understand all kind of things in this earth we see as the same things as a principle of how it is in the spirit realm. You know, you get a sinner who don't act crazy. I watch Christians who have worse lives than sinners do. It's because the sinner does more right things than the Christian does. You reap what you sow. God don't have to sit down and say, you know, I'm going to have this something bad happen to you. You keep doing bad, it'll come down. You'll open the door, the devil will bring bad to your house. You know, the Christian farmer, if he don't take care of his land, the sinner can have better produce than he does. It's what you do. God set a system of blessing and cursing. There was a system set. And the curse over here was the fact when people don't follow what's right, these things start to happen. But when people walk right and do right. You know, my father is like, I look, so many ways my father was blessed. Yet it's a very uneducated man and stuff. I mean, he came out of a super poor family. But my father was a great worker. He always did, kept his word, always did things. There was blessing, would always come along to him in life and always came to him. Because he did what was right. He did what was good and things. There's some things that he messed up and did. But his basic life was a good life of walking and following and being a good human being and walking right. And there's a lot of people like today, oh, they know all kinds of things about the word and they ain't even near close to living a good life as he did, walking right as he did. A lot of people think because they got a lot of information about God, they're spiritual. If you can't live it, you ain't got nothing. I don't care what you say you believe. I'm interested in what you're walking. Because your fruit is the show of your spirituality. You're reaping what you see. If you have really got something going in the spirit, it's going to manifest on the outside. It's going to manifest on the outside. That's why Jesus always used those things and showed us. You see, we have this in Acts 10:38 had said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and making people sick and cursing them. No, he said, we're not doing good, healing all that were oppressed to the devil because God was in with him. In other words, everybody Jesus ministered to, Jesus, the scriptures tell us that they were under the oppression of the devil. They were under the curse. You will find in Jesus' ministry, no one ever came to Jesus for healing and he ever told them, no, I'm sorry, God wants you sick for a reason. Never one time. Now, if that does exist, then Jesus is one of the biggest liars on the face of the earth because he said, when you see me, you see the Father. If God's making people sick, Jesus' ministry was a lie. I'm going to tell you, Jesus' ministry wasn't a lie. Jesus' ministry was the truth. It was what God was really like. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed to the devil because God was with him. Sickness and disease is demonic oppression, and you need to deal with it. To sit around and coddle sickness, disease is to coddle sin. Sin is the offspring of the devil. And when we yield to that, that's why when people preach that God's using sin, God's using things of evil trying to teach his people. No, he don't. There's times I'd have learned things the hard way, and that was because of my hard head. You too. Can't say amen, say oh me. You know? But that's what happens sometimes. It's because of us, what we do. See, God don't have to curse us. The curse stands because when you get over into sin, there's automatic. It's just an automatic thing. It comes. This is why you want to walk over in the areas of grace. This is the wonders of grace. This is what I love. You know, if I get over here and I mess up, I can just confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. End the curse right there. Cursed, if I did something dumb to open the door to the devil, I can close that thing like that. I can close it right away. You talk about a good God. What he sent for us to do. See, the church is waiting around for God to do what is our, their own job. What my job is to do is my job is to develop it. God, let the Holy Ghost teach me the word. I walk in the word and stay in the blessing. Well, because if I get out of line, he's given me a way to get right back in line again. Hallelujah. To get hooked up. And so we need to walk and live in this thing. See, we want heaven in the earth. I don't know about you. This boy does. But it says, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you. In other words, he's going to allow this stuff to happen from the land from which you go to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption. Consumption, that's tuberculosis. With fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with sword, with scorching. If you go down and read through this whole thing, because this thing goes on and on and on. In fact, it goes far beyond that. The thing goes down, I think, how many verses are there? 60 to verse 68. Everything you ugly on the sun. This is verse 61 under the curse. So if you wonder, you read through and say, I didn't see my problem in here. Listen what he says. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you're destroyed. In other words, this covers every evil thing. The curse is about every evil thing. So when we sit today and we look at every evil thing, if you read through this, you'll find things that you can sit down and say, you know, why specifically certain problems we have in our nation. You can see them. It's part of the curse that comes. You can start to look to see things that are going on. Why in our lives? Why in America we're spending fortunes on health care and people are getting no healthier? Why that's happening? I want you to understand, as a Christian, that's not for you. God already provided a health care system. And I'm going to talk to you about how to get over and get hooked up in God's healthcare system. Because you need to learn to do this. I will just tell you this. There's things that are going to come on the earth that are going to be worse than what you see now. We already have diseases and they turn around and say, man, you know, our antibiotics don't work against them. I want you to understand this. Science cannot keep ahead of sin. Sin is greater than science. And they will never make enough cures as long as man lives in sin to bring sin under control. It'll never happen. You can eat all the health food in the world and they'll bury you if you live in sin. And the devil will kill you ugly. We need to know that because of the curse. You can give the devil a shot and he don't care. It doesn't bother him. So we sit and we look at all this whole thing that has taken place. This whole curse out here. God said in his word, we have Paul writes the Galatians and he tells them, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Now, when you sit down, that reading the curse goes down to the things where people would end up eating their children and all this kind of stuff. Israel, in two different times in the scriptures, we found where their nation, where Jerusalem was under siege and people were eating their kids and things going on. Wow, we kill them by the billions to hundreds of millions today, it don't matter. We lived in a cursed nation. There's curse going on big time in our nation. There's curse going on. And we need to know why it goes on. It's about sin. It isn't this. We have a spiritual problem in our nation, and people keep trying to correct it through, you know, psychologically and this and that and the other thing. You can't fix this. There's only one place to get fixed. It's like me. I tried in fixing my life when I was drugging and drinking and stuff. I couldn't fix my life. It took Jesus Christ to fix my life. Jesus fixed my life. He's the guy that turned it around. The only thing I did was received him. I did one act of faith, and he took an idiot and turned him into somebody. That's the thing, and I look back, it just marvels. When I look back at my life of what I was and what he did, I can truly say this. Any man being Christ, he's a new creation. I can't even think anymore what that guy was really like. I don't even think. He is so foreign to me, that guy, that dead man. That dead man that used to live like hell and was an alcoholic and drug. He's a dead man. I look back over and say, my God, that guy's gone. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm standing preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his best cheerleaders. I like him a lot. Well, I sure wasn't like that. What changed it? He did. All I did is receive him, and he changed me. This is the change thing. This isn't about, you know, one of the things that has happened today in the church world, why we don't see a lot of change. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him this. He said, in the church, now this goes back years ago, so it's worse today than it was. He said, there's many conversions in the church, but few births. Many people convert to Christianity. There's loads of people born in Christian homes, but they never really accept Jesus for themselves. They just live a lifestyle of the church, of how they were in, and they're pretty nice people, but they've never passed from death unto life. They've never become different people. I got born again. I accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you what, it changed me so much. My wife came and said to me as a sinner, the night she got saved, she told me, she said, I asked her why she accepted Christ, and she said, because I'm living with a different man. If somebody gets saved and you're still living with the same person, they never got the salvation Ed Gibson got. Mine came through the new birth. And if Jesus said you must be born again, you'll have a changed life. You get born again and just want to be the same old thing you were, you didn't get Ed's salvation. You didn't get the one the Bible hands out. This Bible one, this thing works and changes people's lives. I got saved and I didn't want to not go to church. I wanted to go find out about God. I wanted to know. I was hungry for. I wanted something more. I wanted to find out. I wasn't trying to stay away. Now, I can understand why some people stay away. Dear Lord, you go to church and you end up worse off than you were when you weren't there. Me, I got into the Word of God. I started reading the Bible. I started studying. I started buying tapes. Back in that day, I'd buy tapes and I loads them. I spent a ton of money on tapes. Loads of money. I learned quickly not to lend them out because you never get them back. I learned that quick. Loads of Christians lie. You lend them stuff. You never sit and ask them where it's at. Well, you never gave me that. Oh, yeah. And I learned. Say, man, I had to spend a lot of money to go after God I wanted. If you ain't willing to sow into it, you want it to come free to you, forget it. It won't happen. I spend a lot of money. Going to meetings, still do spend money, thousands and thousands of dollars to go sit in meetings, to hear the Word of God, to be fed, to hear things. If you ain't going to sow in this thing, you ain't going to go very far. You can say you love God, but would you spend a nickel to go after Him? No, I'm looking at a free ride. Just get down to church and let them give me something and I'll just go home. You got to go after God all the time. It's something you have to go after. Hallelujah. Put your time into it. You only go so far. I learned. It's just the way it works. It's just the way it is. Spirituality ain't a free ride. Salvation's free, but you got to go to work. And your work is feeding yourself, getting yourself developed so you can walk and live in this thing, learn about it. Hallelujah. You're going to have to sit and let people talk to you that know something. Hallelujah. I look for people that know something more than I do. If they only know what I know, what's the point in going listening to them? Ain't no point to it. Hallelujah. Got to go listen to people. Now, I want you to look this morning because we're talking about being redeemed from the curse of the law. Kenneth Hagin used this example, and I want to use it. There was years back, this goes back to way, way back in the last century. There was a woman whose name was Lillian Yeoman. She was a doctor. She was actually a medical doctor, Lillian Yeoman. And she had gotten over where she was worked so much in the hospital, and she was just so much pressure and stuff going on. And her hours and stuff were so long that she started using drugs, trying to keep herself going and that stuff, and ended up getting addicted and stuff to drugs, trying to keep her because of all the pressures in the hospital and all that's going on and the demand. And so she turned around and eventually, the drugs and stuff had wrecked her health and everything else, and she was messed up. But anyhow, Dr. Lillian Yoderman ended up getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and got healed, and ended up being a Bible teacher teaching on the areas of healing. She even had, they're no longer in publication, her books. I think it's sad. I'd love to be able to get a hold of her stuff, because Kenneth Hagin said he had had a couple of her things that he had gotten a hold of hers that were just really beneficial and helpful to him. But there's things about her. It's one of the things that is, I want to talk about this thing with the curse of the law, because this is what the Lord wants me to get across. You have to get settled in your mind, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. You got to get, and that's not going to just happen overnight because you hear me talk about it here today. It's one thing for me to know it and preach it to you, but if you want to walk where I'm going to walk, you're going to have to get it like I got it. You're going to have to get it in you, not just because you heard. Faith comes by hearing. It comes. Faith is not strong by hearing. Faith don't get strong by hearing. Faith gets strong by doing the word. You got to get the word in you and start to practice it, and your faith will get strong. Faith is just like that. You can want to build bigger muscles. They can give you a weight set and give you a book, and you can read them and have the weight set, but never get built up in your muscles. You're going to have to pick the weight up. Most people just want to listen and arrive. It don't work like that. You got to hear and do, hear and do, hear and do. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing. You're going to have to hear it over and over again. And let me say this. It isn't just listening to it from other preachers. If you aren't talking it on your voice, you'll probably not amount to too much. You got to start talking in line with the word. You got to start speaking the word. You got to start saying it. If you don't, if you talk contrary to what the Bible, if you talk contrary, I have the curse. I have a cold. I have one. Well, how can you get rid of what you keep saying you have? You keep saying, I'm keeping it. I have it. I have this. I got this problem. I got that problem. Man, I don't need to bring any more problems on me. Dear Lord, I've had enough of them. God said, I'm redeemed from the curse. You know what I'm going to say? I'm redeemed from it. I don't care what's trying to get on me. I'm redeemed from that. I'm not putting up with that. I will not have that. I'm not. When I say I have something, I claimed it to myself. We need to understand the spiritual truth. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. See, you can't say the mountain don't move. I have that mountain. It won't move. That mountain will never move for you. Nothing will ever happen. You can't do that. When you got saved, you didn't get saved talking about what a sinner you were. You got saved by believing that Jesus was Lord. God raised him from the dead. It says, with the mouth, confession was made unto salvation. Believing is not salvation. If you didn't make a confession, you didn't get saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The mountain don't move without speaking. The new birth don't come without speaking. I remember as a kid, went to a church. This minister called people before my parents went along, and the guy had an altar call, and he called people up. There was about 5 or 6 people went up for the altar call, and he had them to turn around and make a confession of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, my mom was sitting there, and they're religious people, you know. Said, oh, you can't get saved like that. Well, they didn't realize hardly anybody ever got saved in their church. They would go to the altar, but nobody got saved because nobody knew nothing about faith. They didn't realize. And I turned around, and when I got saved, I realized they were exactly right. It was a confession unto salvation. They didn't have to go some big ritual of prayer and stuff and, you know, go up there and cry a lot and do all this kind of thing to get something. Dear Lord, the night I got saved, I didn't cry one time. And I was ugly. Let me tell you, I was ugly as sin. And I just called on the name of the Lord. And I got saved. I know why in the church world we think shedding tears. Now sometimes tears can be a sign of something's moving in somebody. Many times crying ain't nothing but emotion. Ain't got a thing to do with anything spiritual. I've watched people sit and cry over some of the most unbelieving Christian songs you'd ever hear sung. And they're crying about it, and it's glorifying the devil. You ain't going to move me with your crying. You're going to move me with what you're living. You're going to move me with what you're doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, there's times the Holy Ghost comes on me and I cry, you know, and that kind of stuff. But that is no sign of spirituality, because somebody weeps. Because there's some people, they cry to drop the hat and ain't got nothing. There's people over the years I've laid hands on, every time I touch them, they cry. And you know what? They think that's spirituality, but they don't realize they dissipate the anointing by acting out in the emotions. And they dissipate the anointing. Now, that don't mean you can't, but you being emotional has nothing to do with spirituality. Yet, you don't want to be spiritual and have no emotion. You know, people don't have emotions, they're in mental hospitals. You don't want to have no emotions, but our emotions don't dictate our spirituality. It doesn't mean somebody is. But Dr. Lillian Yeoman, she started and opened a home. She called it, her and her sister called it the Healing House. Her parents had, when her parents had died, they left her this really, her and her sister, this really big home. So they turned it into what they called the Healing House, because she was no longer was a doctor, yet she would help people when they come into this place. But what she would do, she would take, and lots of times most cases were cases where the doctors couldn't do any more for somebody, and they would take women in, and they would take them in their home, and they would take care of them there and try to get the Word of God in them to get healed. And this is what Dr. Lillian Yeoman, I really love this story she tells, because she brought a woman in who had consumption, and which was TB. And she had this woman she brought in, and she took her up, which she had this happen many times. She had this happen. In fact, the majority of people that came, the ladies that came into her home, the majority of them ended up healed, would end up healed. And this is what's, you need to understand this. This is one of the things that I've seen over the years, and I've tried to get people to do who are over the areas of sick for, you know, something for a long time. Most people, what they want to do is they won't do anything, you know, from a lot of things they won't do from a spiritual condition. They won't try to change or make that. They put all their emphasis over on the medical side, and then God is a sideline over here that you're just working at temporarily. You know, there's people that I will tell you, I know this for a fact, if they listened to me, they'd still be alive today. I tried to get them to go out to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to Kenneth Hagin's ministry out there. They have a healing school. And I said, you need to go out there and sit down for a few weeks in healing school. Do nothing else. But you go down there and you sit in the healing school and get God's medicine every day. Go in there and sit down and let them minister every day to you. Let them minister the word to you every day. Loads of people have gotten healed there. People with death sentence of cancer and everything else have gotten healed there. Because people do. I can't get people to do that. Oh, no, I don't have time to do that. I've looked people in the face. Well, then you're going to have time to die, because you will. If you aren't willing to pull away, what do you think your life's worth? See, this is what people say, today, I'm too busy to get in the Word. Then you're too busy to be healed. You're just too busy. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I just know what it takes to walk over into things. None of you are going to be a brain surgeon here going to part-time to college. What, take you 10 years to get even a degree at all? You ain't going to do that. Why do we think we're going to arrive at spirituality and not realize the work we're going to have to put into it to go? It took a lot for me to get things out of me that I had in me from when I was a kid about God. If you sit under religion, it'll take you a while trying to get that religion out of you so you can live in the freedom and smile a lot more. Hallelujah. I found out the more I got religion out, the happier I got. I found out how good God was. Dear Lord. But anyhow, Dr. William Lodeman took this woman, took her up to, this woman couldn't, she couldn't get out of bed, or so she was, they took her up to the bedroom, they put her in bed because she couldn't get out, she was tied to the bed. And she went and said to her, she sat down and read scriptures to her, and she talked about her in Deuteronomy 28, and then she told, and this is what she said to this woman to do. She said, I want you to do this all the time, just keep doing this. She said, I want you to say, according to Deuteronomy 28, sickness and disease is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have consumption, or I have TB. See, according to Deuteronomy 28, sickness and disease is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have consumption. Now she said, what I want you to do is I want you to take that. I want you to say that all the time. I want you saying that all the time. Well, the woman goes, yeah, I'll say that all the time, but Don't mean nothing to me. She said, oh, Dr. Lily Novin said this. Well, don't matter. You just keep saying it all the time. You just keep saying that all the time. So Dr. Lily Novin, a couple times a day, would go up in her room and sit down and read healing scripture to her and say, now you're confessing this? Yeah, I confess it, but I just don't mean nothing to me. Oh, she said, that's fine. You just go ahead and keep saying it. Keep saying it. Now you need to understand what I'm doing to you. See, this is what God did to Joshua. You meditate in the word day and night till it gets to you. Most people talk junk all day, and that's what gets to them. They're not confessing. She said, you just keep saying this, you just keep saying this. Most of the time, this is what you're going to have to do to get the word in you, where it gets inside of you, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit dawns it on your little pea running around up there, and you go, "Woo, my God, what did that say?" Well, that's what happened to this woman. This went day after day after day, and she's going back up. This lady, are you confessing this all the time? Yeah, I'm saying, but don't matter. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. So one day, her and her sister are down in the kitchen preparing meals for the people that were in the house. And all of a sudden, they heard, "Whoa!" And they heard footsteps going across the hallway and come running down the stairs. And this woman ran down and ran in the kitchen and said, "Do you know that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law?" She said, "I don't have consumption anymore." You see, it finally dawned on her. Most people never stay with long enough with the word till they get it. They think this is about God. It's not about God. If I could get it in 10 minutes and get that in me, I could have the results. But understand, most of the time it takes us time to get it in us. That woman, she's got to cut. See, if you want to fight the fight of faith, you better have a mouth in the fight. If your mouth ain't in the fight, you're not in the fight. The devil's doing the fighting, and he's doing the winning. If you're confessing your sickness and can't wait to go tell everybody what your problems are and the things you got, you, the devil, is in the fight. He's got the thing. You're telling everybody what you got? No, I'm going to tell them what I have. This is what I believe I have. I believe I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm delivered from the curse of the law. Sickness don't belong to Evan Gibson, and I ain't going to put tolerating or put it up with it. It comes knocking on my door. The first thing that happens to me is I get mad. The devil ain't coming to my house. Too many people, we have a society that coddles sickness and disease. We're always petting and patting every little person and every little thing that they got instead of people standing up and doing a little bit of fighting. Hallelujah. I learned this as a pastor. You can't keep people alive who pet sickness. You can't keep them alive. You just put, "You're gone" on their forehead because they will be gone. I've watched it. I've been there. I've known. I've talked to people and tried to tell them, sitting there in a hospital and talk to them. No, they won't let. They just keep going on with their thing, going on with their thing. And saying, "Well, we're trusting the Lord." Yeah, for what? For what? Well, if he wants to, he will. God will do it in his time. I know as soon as I hear somebody say that, I know this. They're going down the tubes. Nowhere in Scripture says God's going to do it in his time. Nowhere in one time. Jesus never went to somebody and said, "I want healed." Well, God will do it in his time. Nice religious statement the devil has preached in the church, and preachers picked it up and carried the flag for him. Now, they weren't bad people, but they bought a doctrine of a devil. They bought it. And the people that swallowed it, most of the times you're going to churches, they don't use Scripture for where they're going. They're just telling you the Bible says this, the Bible says that, the Bible says that. Nobody ever goes home and checks to find out the preacher actually read the Bible. I know this over the years. The preachers I sat under as a kid hardly knew the Bible. You know why? They worked all day. They had tried to get out there making a living and stuff, and are out there working all day. And then they had to make money because they didn't pay them nothing. And they had to work and slave all the time, never had time to spend in the world to find out what the Bible says. And they'd say, "Just open your mouth, God will fill it." Well, I want to tell you what, it got filled with a lot of stuff shouldn't have been said. And it wasn't God. Good preaching, folks. What did Peter say the ministers were supposed to do? He said, "Put other people, go do the work so I have time to spend in the word and in prayer." It takes time to hear from heaven. You don't just come off the field and right away you heard from heaven. You don't do that. See, they didn't. The group that had numbers of churches that my family belonged to when I was a kid, and you know what? They're almost gone today. The whole lot of them. Is why? They muzzled the ox. They didn't. The Bible says that the minister, he was worth, he's worthy of double honor. And what'd they do? They kept him poor. They kept him downtrodden. Figuring out how they can get ministers and pay them the least. They show no value to the gift, so God didn't give them revelation. Folks, that's good preaching. You honor the gift. You know, this ain't about me standing up, this is about God. You dishonor gifts, you dishonor God. That's why I give to ministry gifts. I honor them. I want fed from ministry gifts. There's people I want to hear from heaven from. I want to know what God's saying. And I'll tell you what, I'll pay to listen to them. Hallelujah. I'll pay to listen. I'm not a cheapskate. I'm not trying to. I'll tell you, there ain't no free lunches in the kingdom, so forget it. Hallelujah. I'm not a free luncher. Hallelujah. Praise God. God takes care of us. Well, see, that woman heard the word. I want you to get that today for yourselves. You need to get a hold of that today for yourselves. I want you, you know, this is Dr. Lillian Odom. Her sister used to, was really gifted in the area of like psalms and like poetic things and stuff that she would get. And this is when they made it into a song, but this was one part of one of it, not the whole thing. But she got, it's called Not Under the Curse. This is what the Lord gave her. It's called Christ Redeemed Me from the Curse of the Law as He Hung on That Shameful Tree. And all that is worst is contained in the curse, and Jesus has set me free. Not under the curse, not under the curse. Jesus has set me free. For sickness I have health, for poverty wealth, since Christ has ransomed me. Christ paid the price of the broken law. He paid the whole price for me. God saw not one spot, blemish or blot in the Lamb that was slain for me. Not under the curse, not under the curse, since Jesus has set me free. For sickness I have health, for poverty wealth, since Christ has ransomed me. Oh, if they'd sing something like that in the churches. Hallelujah. But the whole thing of it is, see, you got to preach the truth. People can't have faith to be healed till they find out God wants them healed. And I'm just here to tell you today, God wants you well. And you need to get in. You've been delivered from the curse, redeemed. I want you to think about it, redeemed. The word redeemed from the curse means the price that was paid, the blood of Jesus, redeemed you from the curse of the law. It means you no longer are under that. You're under the blessing. It is not hard. Start talking about yourself being under the blessing and quit talking about under the curse. Well, this is happening and this other thing's happening over here and that's happening here. People talking about, they talk about, you know, this. Well, the flu season's coming. Well, sure, for you, but not for me. It ain't for me. So, you know, let it come. Dear Lord, my wife, she don't get the flu. In my words, she works in a school. She's a librarian. I mean, that is flu heaven over there. You know, you go around kids and everybody got through, and all the teachers take the flu shots and all get sick. My wife don't take the flu shots. Now you get older, as they say, you know, that, you know, your immune system don't work as well. Well, my wife's 67 years old and her seems to be fine. She don't get the flu. Why? Is it because we're such geniuses? No, all we found out is we weren't under the curse, so we don't accept that. And I say all the time, I ain't getting the flu. I'm not getting it. I don't. Well, you got to watch yourself. I have people come along to me and say, no, don't hug me. I got a cold. I don't care. That cold's a scare to me, dear God. The devil don't like to be around me. Hug me enough, it'll probably scare it off of you. Dear Lord. See, when we walk around and talk this fear, oh, well, watch it. You might get it. Well, you will. You will. Just go home and get ready. Get the bedpan out. Get the stuff ready. Get that box of tissues. Get ready. Have a good time. You done invited it. Just kick the door open. Say, well, whatever you want to come in. Come on. I'm all ready for you now. Yipper, we got Pepto-Bismol over here. We got... I got my nighttime cold medicine now, and I'm ready 24 hours a day. Come and get me. You know, we talk about building, you know, people say about building immune system from the natural. You need to build your spiritual immune system, and you only can build it with your voice. I can't build it for you. What you believe and say is what you got. I can't override your voice. There'd have to be a manifestation of a gift of a spirit going into operation for that to happen. And that goes as the spirit wills. I can't make that happen. if God decides to do it. But what I'm teaching you today, you can have any time. It's going to be what you do. It's what you do. Now, I want you to do something because I want you to listen. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. We're under the curse. I want you to listen. According to Deuteronomy 28, sickness and disease of all kinds are a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have, and you can name whatever it is, whether it's sickness, I don't care if it's poverty or whatever it is. Now, I want you to write this down because you need to learn to start talking this and saying this. You need to be saying this. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me to give you this today. You got to start getting it into yourself to start speaking, to start saying this. This is scripturally true. It's scripturally accurate. According to Deuteronomy 28, sickness and disease of all kinds are a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer, and you no longer have, you name whatever it is. Now, you might be dealing with 10 things in your life you want to change. I will just tell you, do this. Pick one of them. Get one thing going and you'll get other things going. What most people do, here's a lot of people make mistakes. They're trying to change too many stuff. You don't do that. You know, like the Lord had me speak to a guy one time who was in a wheelchair and he wanted to get out of the wheelchair. The Lord told me to go tell him, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you can't stick the whole elephant in your mouth. See, his problem was he was trying to swallow more than he could and he was getting further behind than getting ahead. So you might have a number of things to deal with. I learned this when I was a Christian. God would take me a step at a time to start here, get a hold of this, and I would learn to grab a hold of that. Then I learned to grab a hold of this. He first dealt with me in the areas of healing. And then he took me over to finances and started showing me over in that area. Get a hold of an area. It's like with here. If you have sickness and you have a problem, just like in the areas of poverty, with any ugly thing that you can think of is under the curse of the law, no matter what it is. Problem. If you have a problem with your mind at all, that's part of the curse of the law. You read through the curse of the law, find out mental illness and all that kind of stuff, that's under the curse. That's all under the curse. See, we today take it as all, this is all natural things that just happen. You know, they're just touched. No, the devil done touched them. And see, we've just told people are under the curse and we've told them just like this is just natural. There's nothing natural about it. None of this existed till sin entered the earth. Then all of it existed. And it's been multiplying because we can't keep people's mouths shut. As long as we keep talking curse, we create more. You need to understand, we're in charge here on the earth, not God. Jesus told Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose. We have been loosing sickness and disease. We've been creating new diseases into this earth by the stuff we talk and say. Medical science, in many ways, has become a problem to us. Because they don't understand spiritual principles. They don't understand spiritual principles. And you need to understand this. Sin and talking the junk, it's going to bring something and it'll create something new. It'll create something new. That's why concerning yourself, you need to learn to talk right. You need to talk right about your body and that stuff. Mental illness, depression. Depression is a curse of the law. It's a curse. It's never a blessing. It's a curse. And what I want you to do, let's stand to our feet. What I want you to do here, we're going to say this, and I want you to repeat after me. We're just going to speak this. According to Deuteronomy 28, sickness and disease of all kinds are a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have, and you name whatever it is. Whatever it is in your life that you want to key in on. See, and this is what you do. I'm going to have us do it again. According to Deuteronomy 28. Sickness and disease of all kinds are a curse of the law. According to Galatians 3:13. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have, and you name whatever it is. See, whatever it is that you're dealing with your body, no, anything that's coming against it, anything that hampers you. See, one of the things that I had as a child growing up, today they call them learning disabilities. I found out what it was. It's just the devil working. They call them learning disabilities. What is that? I would have trouble in the areas of reading, comprehending things I would do. I just couldn't catch up on. When I got born again, Kenneth Hagin, I heard him teach on the thing, you have the mind of Christ. See, in the church, they never taught us that. We never taught we had the mind of Christ. That was just a scripture you read. But they always told you, you know, you're supposed to walk like Jesus, but you'll never be like him. You know what he taught us? You're supposed to be like him, but you never will be. We have such contradiction in the church, I don't see how people can stand it. I just don't see how they can pay some guy to tell them that stuff. But, you know, I would sit down, he said, you have the mind of Christ. Well, one day that just hit me about that, having the mind of Christ. Because, see, he came out of the things, when he was in school as a child, well, in that day they didn't have Fs, they just had Ds, and he was a straight D student. I'd done better than that, so I figured. But he got saved, his mentality changed. But it was because of what he learned in the Word. So what I did is, one day I got thinking, I have the mind of Christ. If I have the mind, it doesn't say you're going to get the mind of Christ. You have it. If you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives in you. The Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ. You have it. You're not trying to get it. You have it. What you got to do is come in contact with it. And you don't come in contact with it saying, I just read the Bible and I don't understand. I just can't get a hold of this. And I just can't. I don't know this. You know, God don't want us to know everything. And saying that nonsense, you're going to stay dumb as a stick. Let's just be honest. I'm just telling you. That's what you're going to. Spiritually, you'll be dumb as a stick because you have confessed to being dumb as a stick. You're never going to learn. I just can't get it. I don't. So I thought about this for a while. Now, I was just a baby Christian and did. I just thought a while and I thought, well, if I have the mind of Christ, Jesus wasn't no dummy. Well, then there's no way I could be a dummy. So I must be. I can read fine. I started saying, I can read fine. I can understand. Today I can read fine. I can remember things. Things come to me, dear Lord. But I just started agreeing with the Bible instead of agreeing with everybody else was agreeing to. See, I didn't have a learning disability. My disability came from my church that I went to as a kid that always talked about how we can never know things in God just and he does. Why would God put the Holy Ghost, the teacher, in us to take what belonged to Jesus to show it to us and then he ain't going to show it to us? Who ever heard of things that's stupid in your life? That's ignorance gone to seed. See, God's going to show you. And see, get it in yourself. I started doing that in my mind. You know, I went through Bible school with straight A's. Dear Lord, that astounded me. I mean, dear Lord, my God, God will turn you into a rocket scientist. He'll make you. See, I believe Christians are supposed to be the most intelligent people on the earth. I believe it. And they haven't been because they won't get in line with the word, the love of religion. They think humility sits around and talks about what you don't got. Humility talks about what God gave you and what he's done for you and cheering him. He's great. He's wonderful. It ain't sitting around, no. He's just taking everything from us, trying to humble us. The most prideful people I usually meet are the ones that are always trying to be humble. They're so full of pride over their humility. Dear God. Then God makes you sick to humble you. Ain't that a shame? You're such a stubborn, bullheaded idiot that somebody has to do something ugly to you to get your attention. As if there's pride in no statement. Now, isn't that crazy? I literally was listening to a woman said that God gave her cancer because she could handle it. I thought, my God, she's going to die of cancer, in which I found out she did. She died of the cancer. She couldn't handle it. God picked the wrong person. But you know what? Now, you want to talk about a prideful statement? I mean, let me take you up to Hershey here to the children's hospital. I'll take you and show those little kids. Did God give them cancer because they could handle it? I'm going to tell you what, if anybody could ever convince me that God did that to those kids, I'd never serve him a second. I don't want to be in heaven with no God like that. That ain't my God. That ain't my Jesus doing that. That's the devil, and I'm tired of the church worshiping him. I'm fed up of the church worshiping the works of the devil. So we got to stand up, man, and declare the glory of God. Amen. The good news of Jesus Christ. We got to tell the world, you know, God wants to heal you. God wants you. This is what He wants. He's been after this for centuries, trying to bless people, trying to help people. You're going to get rocks thrown at you. They didn't like Jesus. They killed Him. His hometown tried to throw Him over a cliff. Dear Lord. But He walked through them. I don't care. They ain't going to throw me over no cliff. They're going to get a lot mad at me because I'm just going to tell the truth. And I'm not going along with the junk. I'm not going with the junk. God wants people free. He wants you free. He wants you well. That's His perfect will for you. Jesus died on the cross so you could have it. This thing that I showed you here and that we read through, you take this, just like that woman, every day. You just say that as often as you think of it. You make that confession every day and you say it till it gets into you. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Something comes knocking on your door and I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. Hold it, hold it. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. We ain't going here. We're not going to this. This isn't what Christ gave me. Hallelujah. He gave me health. He gave me wealth. Glory to God. He gave me a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's what I have. That's what He gave me. And start saying that. See, and when it gets in you, you'll be just like that woman that jumped out of bed, that couldn't move, jumped out of bed. Hallelujah. You'll be just like that. It may not happen 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Some of it depends on people, how long it takes them until they get it in. But I'll tell you, if you're diligent, there's things that I've learned in confession that I'll tell you what, I went through months and months of saying things from scriptures, and boy, short end of the thing seemed like I had it, it was going anywhere. But one day the revelation came and I had it. One day, all of a sudden, it's like, my God, it dawned on this little pea rolling around up here. My God, this is true. Woo! And when it's true, it's wonderful. I'll tell you, there's many times by myself when a revelation came to me and I get up, done a little dancing and jigging, and woo! Glory to God, it's true. My words, we ought to get happy over something. My words, when I went to church, they were so dead, dear Lord. They used to, you know, you didn't want to sit too long in church. The coroner would have probably been in and hauled y'all. Hallelujah. What God wants to bring each one of you to here today, that you can walk in this, that you don't have to wait for something special, that you'll be just like the woman with the issue of blood. Your faith will make you whole. Your faith in Jesus Christ will make you well. Your faith in Jesus Christ will deliver you. There's no apostle, no prophet that's special. The greatest anointing, the greatest thing that any Christian can walk and live under is using our own faith to trust God. We want gifts of the Spirit to minister to the world. But I'll tell you what, God wants you to walk in health. He wants you to have it all the time. He wants you to walk and He wants you to have the money that you need, the food that you need, the good stuff that you need. He wants you to have good cars, good stuff. He wants you to have them. He wants you to be a witness to the world. Not a show up, but a witness where people will look and say, you know what? I want what them Christians got. I grew up not wanting what the Christians said they had. I didn't want what they had. That's the last thing I'd have wanted, what they had. But today I see Christians walking around today. I like seeing what they got. People got things. God's blessing their life and help. I want to walk in. You're not going to grab people by you being under the bottom of the barrel. Not the bottom of it. Many Christians live under the barrel. It sits on them. Spiritually, it sits on them. And the sad part of it is they got put there by preaching. They wanted to follow God and people preached them under the barrel. Hallelujah. Today I kicked the barrel off of you. Stand up. Hallelujah. We kicked the barrel off of you. Glory to God. God don't want you under the barrel no more. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants you to stand up. He's blessed you, the scripture says in Ephesians, the first chapter, He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Think about that. You're blessed already. You're not going to be blessed. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Already. Already. I don't ever ask anybody to pray for me and I'd be blessed. What are you going to pray on me to bless me? God already blessed me with everything. What earth do you got? You got better than God? God's blessed me with every blessing. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed the curse of the law and so are you. Just think about it. Every one of us here today, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everyone. God's not held one blessing back from you. Amen. The gospel's only yes. There's no no's in the gospel. Only yes. Don't ever let anybody preach you the no. You have the blessings. Hallelujah. Confess the blessings. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. any ugly thing that you can think of. Anytime evil knocks on your door, anything that's not good, hold it, that's not mine. That don't belong to me. See, if you can't identify good and evil, and that's the bad part of it, many Christians can't. Evil comes and they think it's from God. They think God's bringing it to them. You've got to be able to identify. It's written so clear in scriptures, I don't see how people miss it. The scriptures are so clear. But men get so blind in their religion and put on their religious colored glasses, and they just can't see scriptures in the Bible. And that's why you want to break away from, you want to get away, if you want to stop and say, God, I want to see, I want to understand, I want to know the truth, because it's the truth that makes you free. God don't want you oppressed, depressed, or any other kind of press. He don't want you in the hand of the devil in any manner. I'll tell you, don't be willing to put up with any kind of sickness and disease. I mean, whether it's allergies, whatever it is. You know, there's things we can learn to live with, but get to yourself where I don't want the devil messing with I don't want my life. I don't want his junk in any way. I don't want it. You know, I grew up in a church and they'd say, I don't want the devil's goods. And it always had to do with having a decent car or something like that. How stupid. Yet they accepted sickness and disease and poverty like it was world champion getting something. They'd accept the old car and take the sickness with it and all that stuff. Saying, whew, we're being humble, you know. We're just being, no, that's not humility. That's not humility. Glory to God. Humility, this is true humility. Believing what the Word of God says and living it in spite of what other men say and do. You're going to have to be humble to do that, because I'm going to just tell you, I've walked it in enough years and got enough criticism to do it. You got to stay humble, you won't walk in love. My message ain't popular to a lot of places because it's the Bible. And those people say they believe the truth, they're the first ones that'll get the rocks and stone you. Good preaching, it. It's the truth. But you know what? You got to walk in love. I don't care what. They can throw rocks at me and do it. It don't matter. My God. They fight me, they're going to fight God. If he can't protect me, he ain't who he said he was. But he will. Glory to God. The truth will make you free. Father, these are your wonderful people. These are the people, Lord God, that you bought by the blood of Jesus. You did this. You did this wonderful thing. Hallelujah, the glorious church. Hallelujah, the glorious church, Lord God. Lord God, you saved them. You brought them out of darkness into your wonderful light. Hallelujah. You washed them in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've changed them into new people. They belong to you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you've seated them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Oh, Lord God, you've handed them the great authority of heaven to walk and live in this earth. You've done all these things. You've blessed them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You've redeemed them from the curse of the law. You've set them free, and they're your children, Lord God. And Father God, I pray over them today, Lord God, that the seeds that I planted and spoke today that falls into their hearts, Father God, my great desire and your great desire, I know that you've talked to me about, oh, for them to grab a hold of this today, to step into a land of victory that they've never walked in before, to step in a place of glory that they've gotten a glimpse over into. Lord God, that they no longer stand on the other side of the Jordan, but Lord God, that they walk onto the other side and live in the land that was given. Lord God, that every place that they step with their foot, it belongs to them. And all the wonderful promises of the scriptures are laid out in that land. Oh, Lord God, and I pray they go step on every promise. They step on all of them. They walk out into every one of them because it belongs to them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I pray that the church would get across the Jordan. I pray the church would go into the land of victory in the name of Jesus and go over and conquer every enemy and walk over everything, Lord God, that has stood in the way. Hallelujah. Lord God, and take that glorious place that heaven has given for us in the Spirit to walk in the glory, Lord God, as a victorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I thank you for it, Father God. Lord God, you've graced us and given us the ability to do it. Hallelujah. And you will not hold back, Lord God. Lord God, anybody that'll tread across the land, Lord God, across the river, Lord God, you'll anoint them. Hallelujah. Anybody that'll cross the river and step in the land, your grace will work mightily for them, Lord God. And I thank you for it, Father, for all that you're going to do in these people, all that you're going to change. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Many situations are going to turn around. I thank you. There's great victory on the horizon. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, it's just right out there, close to the touching. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I pray and thank you, Lord God, that they're going to take a hold of it, walk and live in it. Jesus Christ glorified and magnified in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, the Lord God people will come into the kingdom because of what they see in them, trusting in Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 This is the day for rising up. This is the day for rising. This is the day for standing up tall. Stand not bent over anymore. Stand up, for I've called you out. Yes, and you are my sons and you are my daughters that I have called and set you in this day and hour. And my hand is upon you. If you will start to walk forth, well, you will call out with boldness my word. I will bring those words to pass. And you'll see. You will see with your own eyes the things will come to pass. Yes? And I will do things that will cause your faith to rise to a new level. But you must first rise up and stand out. No longer cower down. No longer back up because of others. Because others have stood and said, no, don't go that way. Don't go that way. You walk that way. Oh, yes. Yes, walk that way. Before, if nobody walks that way, how can others change and go? But when they see you stand up, when they see the glory, yes, they'll come and walk and they'll want the glory. They'll want to see it. They'll want to experience it too. So I've called you to this day. I've called you to this hour. Hallelujah. And I've anointed you for this time because this is your day. This is your hour. Hallelujah. But step in while it's here. Don't wait. Don't wait. Step in while it's here and walk in it. Hallelujah. And you will be blessed and will bless many. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.